You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what that music means. We're heading east. We're going to Knoxville. Vince Ferrara is on the line. Vincenzo at Vince Sports on Twitter. Give him a follow. It's free and easy. 105.5, huh? Not bad.
Oh, yeah, but other SEC school fan bases are like, well, that's not accurate. They're making stuff up, and they have fake, velo guns and all this other stuff. Please, please.
That's the fastest in college baseball history, is it not?
It is, and there was one faster in MLB. I don't know if it was Aroldis Chapman.
I'm pretty sure it was Chapman, yeah.
Yeah, it might have been 107, something like that, I think, if I remember correctly. But, yeah, that was the fastest in college baseball history. So, I mean, it's wild. That kid, I mean, he saved their backside. Yeah, 105.5, that's what got a lot of attention. But
he pitched four innings, right?
Right. It was a career performance. He had never gone longer than two innings. So yeah. It was the longest outing and the longest in terms of pitches. He held that game together for Tennessee and squashed the momentum that Auburn had offensively, and that allowed Tennessee the time to get that two-run homer from Jordan Beck in the eighth and end up winning the game in the series, because Auburn gave Tennessee all they could handle all weekend, including taking a game.
Got a little chippy Saturday night, including the benches clearing.
Yeah.
Mr. Vitello was right in the middle of all that.
Did you guys see that video?
Ruckus. So what? Walk us through all that. What happened?
Okay. Well, I could reply with, hey, that's SEC baseball. I mean, that could be my answer to pretty much everything when it involves this Tennessee baseball team. But, yeah, so there was some chirping, you know, earlier in the ball game, and then, you know, Auburn gets the big three-run homer in the ninth, which ended up being a four-run outburst for them in winning that Saturday game. Well, Pierce, the cleanup hitter for Auburn, hits a three-run homer, and then he holds the bat, and then tosses it towards the Tennessee dugout, and it ends up, like, clipping the gate outside the dugout. And so there was some meaning to that, for sure. Well, Tony Vitello was not happy. So he picked the bat up, walked towards Auburn's dugout, and underhand tossed it towards some Auburn players that bounced and then went kind of like at their feet. And then so that incited Auburn, and then Tennessee's coming out of their dugout and everyone screaming at each other. And so it was pretty intense. It didn't get to fisticuffs or anything. And I actually gave the home plate umpire, who had a horrible day calling balls and strikes, gave him a lot of credit for not tossing people and just getting everybody calmed down and separated, and we moved on. But, man, that made it really emotional. And, look, I know there's a lot of people that say, you guys may be thinking it right now, or people listening, well, Tennessee has a lot of nerve to get upset about bat tosses and people showing them up when they do it. And that's fair, but part of what really drives this team is their edge. When they feel like people are disrespecting them, if it's made up or if it's viewed as sensitive for some or whatever the case may be, that stuff motivates them and drives them and gives them even more of an edge than they already have. So that's part of who they are. And you also, and I think they do, you know you're going to get it back from opponents. So they've come to expect it. And if they're going to get it, they're not just going to say, well, we do it, so So, you know, we understand, and we just won't do anything about it. We'll just let them have it. No, part of what their makeup is we're standing up for ourselves. So, yes, did it escalate more than it probably should have? Sure. It's also, again, SEC baseball and part of what this team's makeup is.
We're getting a lot of people on our text line and tweets saying 105.8 was Chapman. That was the baseball record. So,
okay.
Like of every level, so Chapman 105.8 is the record.
All right. Nice.
Wow. D-Mace? Willie?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I was getting my mic fixed. Vince, I was looking at the draft picks here. They had two. They had a total, I think, what, five guys selected in this year's draft. But two went rather early, defensive back and wide receiver. Now, the defensive back joins some guys in New Orleans that he already know, in Chiteto and some other guys. So that should be an easier transition for him, considering there are other Vols there. How do you think this is going to pan out? Who do you think hits the field first between the two?
Well, I was a little surprised that Alante Taylor went in the second round. He had been really improving his draft stock, ran that 4.36 at the combine. They got a lot of people's attention. He told teams during his meetings with them, whether it was at the combine or prior to the combine at the Senior Bowl, when he met with all the teams, he said, I'm going to run a 4.38 at the combine. And they're like, okay, why don't you put that down on writing and put that down, write it down and sign it, and we'll bring it back to you later. And he was like, absolutely. So he's like, I couldn't wait to see those guys at the pro day because I'm a man of my word. And he ran even faster time than he told them, and that helped him. But it forced teams to go back and watch tape in him, do more studying in him. He's a leader. He's versatile in terms of position. And New Orleans has a need to improve their depth at corner. They're pretty set in terms of their starters, but you know, you're in a nickel a lot, as you know, D-Mace, and so you got to have three or four corners at times on the field. He's a guy that can play the slot, outside corner, safety. Some project him in the NFL, so I think he's going to see the field, and he can play special teams. That's a huge thing for Velus Jones Jr. in Chicago. First Bears draft pick of a Tennessee player since 1992. That was the longest draft in the NFL. And that was really the only reason that I didn't mock him to the Bears, because they have a huge need at the slot and a wide receiver. Our lads has already penciled him in starting at slot receiver and kick returner. So I think he, in terms of who plays the quickest, kind of your question, Derek, I think he's the guy that can see the field the most and get used the most is Velus Jones Jr. in Chicago. He's another guy that ran a blazing speed, 4.31, but that translates as well onto the field, especially with run after the catch. You're going to need that short game with Justin Fields. So I think all those other guys will make the team and have opportunities to be depth guys at first. But it starts with Velus in terms of who will probably have the biggest role in this year's team. And I love Matt Butler with the Raiders. He was he was one of the team fits for me there. Joins a couple of Vols there. And then Cade Mays will be a backup, and he can play any position on the offensive line. So I think he'll stick as a backup. And then Theo Jackson, who I really like for the Titans as well. And
that's what
John
I was
going to
ask you about next. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think John Robinson hit on one of the things that jumps out to me is how smart he is. And then the other thing is his versatility. He had a great senior year at Tennessee where he flourished in that defense because, one, they played him at the slot where he can show his physicality. Two, he can diagnose things. He is an absolute beast in the film room. You guys are going to, that's going to be a topic of conversation anytime you talk about him or if you guys talk to him. Talk about, ask him about watching film, because he set the bar at that. He'd bring guys in to watch tape with him, and he's such a smart kid and a super kid. Theo Jackson is one of the most respectful, nicest kids I've covered. I've been at Tennessee here since 2010. He is one of the nicest, most respectful, smart kids I have ever covered at Tennessee, and that's a lot of athletes during that time and a lot of sports. He's awesome, and I think he will also bring special teams and position versatility. So I think you guys will like him. He's come a long way in his time at Tennessee, and I like him there with the Titans. Obviously, with his home being his hometown as well, which is cool.
Was the player Willie Gault? Who was the Bears player?
It was Jeremy Lincoln, a defensive back. Yeah, Willie Gault was a draft pick prior to, but the last one was DB Jeremy Lincoln.
Oh, so he was before 92. Okay. I couldn't remember the time frame.
Right. Now the longest drought is the Bills in 2002 without taking a Tennessee player. So,
interesting stat. I would never have thought to like that Willie Gault reference today. That's good stuff. Theo Jackson, we'll keep an eye on him. Vince, before we let you go, give us the latest from the current football team in the net result of transfer in, transfer out in terms of the portal. Where do they stand on that? I know we don't have a whole lot of time, so a real just basic answer on do you think they're ahead or behind in the transfer situation?
Well, I think potentially ahead. They had a couple of guys leave. And James Robinson, who was a reserve offensive lineman who I don't think was going to play anyway. Aaron Willis, highly rated linebacker who had a chance to maybe, he was a super talented, but had never really put it together yet. But the guy they get in is an Ohio State transfer and a safety, a DB from Ohio State, who's an Ensworth product from Nashville, and Andre Turrentine, who was in the 2021 Ohio State class. Because that's a need position and he'll play, I think it's a net positive for them, even though it's not as many coming in as going out, but there's still more time to add those guys.
All right, Vinny, good stuff. Really appreciate it. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, I'm sure there'll be more fireworks and crazy stuff to talk about.
I doubt it. Sure, I'm sure the Vols will be quiet this next SEC series. They'll just go about business-like approach.
McFarland country up in Lexington to take on the Cats there, Darren. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, they'll probably beat him up pretty good.
Will be my guess. All right, appreciate you guys. Right, have a great week.
Vince Ferrara. Come back and talk about that on the other side. Good stuff. By the way, Theo Jackson, I want to bring up something to you guys as well. We'll do that next here on the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't forget, we're going to give away tickets for Game 3, Preds and Avs, Bridgestone Arena, Saturday afternoon, sometime this hour. Be listening. It's going to be great. By the way, if you're looking for a place to watch on Thursday night for Game 2, Preds Energy Team, they'll be in attendance. You can go to Headquarters Beer Cave for the Preds Bud Light Watch Party. They've got great drink specials, $6 select cans, $10 Preds cocktail. Headquarters Beercade is located at 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. Puck drops at 8:30 on Thursday evening, where Willie is right now. Denver's a great city. It's fun. Fun place to visit. Hopefully the Predators can come back. Honestly, I know, it's like, you can't take a loser's mentality. You got to take them both. I think they would sign up for a split right now, right? And say, come on back.
Who would?
Split. Yeah, right? That's not crazy.
Who wouldn't sign up for a split at somebody else's home ice or home field, home court?
Yeah. Of course, I said that in Chicago, right? Back in 2017 playoffs. You just take a split and you're riding back to Nashville.
Take them both.
Or take them both and shut them out.
Mm-hmm. They can do that too.
So, yeah. So you never know. This kid that the Titans drafted. Mm-hmm. Theo Jackson, he's a Nashville kid, right? Did he play at, Overton?
Overton right? High School.
That's cool. That's a cool story.
Mm. So he gets to stay home. That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's really neat. To grow up here, play high school ball here, play college ball in the state, and then play professionally at home?
The dream.
Wow.
Some
no
advice,
kidding.
Some advice for him is to understand this is a business. So sometimes playing at home could be good and bad. Exactly. So let everybody know, hey, listen, I need to make the team. So all that other stuff, let it be after I've made the team and solidified my spot, you know?
Yeah.
So. Yeah. That's a good point. We've seen it many times. We've seen it many times.
You know, it's interesting.
Stay focused.
Speaking of home, you know, one in the state and one player in our listening area, like the Patriots have been getting crushed for their draft, right? I mean, they've been getting destroyed. And two of their picks was a kid called their first round pick, Cole Strange, from Chattanooga, which everybody absolutely just butchered. I mean, they just said, what in the hell are you thinking drafting him in the first round? The other one was the Western Kentucky quarterback that we talked about, right? Mm-hmm. Bailey, was it Bailey Zapp? Say his last name? Like
Zappy.
I said, West Zappy. What is it?
Bailey Zappy. Zappy.
Zappy? Zappy. Bailey Zappy. They took him. And, you know, he's like I said, that's the market that's in our listening area in Bowling Green. But the Patriots did not score well with a lot of people with their draft picks.
Listen, if my team has won, what, 5, 6 Super Bowls and won Super Bowls in the last –
Or seven.
Or seven in 2 decades, I would trust that team. I would trust what they're doing. Wouldn't you? I mean, I would just trust what they're doing. That's just me.
You're right. I guess they could say scoreboard.
Yeah, exactly.
Nate on our text line wants to know or says on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, he says, I don't mind the back and forth banner. This is getting back to what happened Saturday night with the Vols. Don't mind the back and forth banner actions and bat flips. But when you do it towards, you know, you're flipping the bat toward the other team's dugout, he said that's when it's not acceptable to him. Celebrate with your team, but there has to be a line of what's acceptable. And I feel like he said, I feel like Auburn crossed it Saturday night. Well, look, this is what the way Tennessee plays and their style, this is what they basically invoke, right, upon their the opponents. Like everybody's – the juices are flowing, right? Everybody is on high, high alert. And my guess is it's probably like a coach's nightmare playing them because, you know there's a real shot. Someone is going to cross the line, whether it's them or your guys, but because, it's so intense.
Isn't this the same team that said – who was it, Arkansas or Alabama – celebrated as if they won a championship, and then when you actually look at them celebrating, it was nothing like that.
I think that was that Ole Miss.
Was it Ole Miss? They broke their streak of winning, and they just celebrated as if they won a game. And UT said they celebrated as if they won a championship.
That wasn't
it was
Ole
the Alabama
Miss.
Game.
It was Alabama. Alabama. Yeah,
it was Alabama.
And I'm like, judging by how they, no, it didn't. See, Tennessee wants to be this. Oh, don't do it to us, but then you do it to everybody else. So, hey, listen, might flip the bat on you, so be it, because you're doing it to everybody else. You're celebrating. You're doing all these things. When somebody does it back to you, you can't cry foul.
And it too, in the I don't know what the guy was thinking. The guy flipped the bat. I don't think he intended for the bat to get all the way into the dugout. It's not like he pulled the Roger Clemens. Remember, he threw the bat right at Mike Piazza. He's like, oh, I don't know. You know, he gave you, I didn't mean to do that, you know. And people were very suspect of that. But when I saw the flip, it did. He got a great roll on the flip. Like, I don't think he turned and looked at the dugout and threw the bat at him. He did a bat flip, and it was an aggressive bat flip. And it was towards the dugout, but it bounced the right way. It easily could have bounced back the other way. But it was a hardcore bat flip, and that's just what's happening in college baseball. You know, there's just more of that going on, and it gets tempers going. And, of course, Tony Vitello, it came his way, and he was going to, you know, be the showman that he is and take it to the next level.
Yeah. Phil on our text line
says, chucked it back at him.
He did. Tennessee absolutely deserves bats being flipped at their dugout. Most obnoxious team in college baseball history. Obviously, Phil's a huge Tennessee fan, or not. Yeah, I mean, this is what gets them going. But I will say this. I mean, history's kind of shown us, typically, great teams, usually play one with an edge, and they're always looking for an edge, if you know what I mean. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, mm-hmm. right?
So there's a lot of different ways. There's
The Patriots have been accused of that. The A's, back when they were good, well, they, look, who's kidding who? Well, you know, they're playing with – they're flirting with some stuff on the edge behind the scenes. I mean, wink, wink, nudge,
nudge. Are you talking about like the way, way back A's?
The way, way back A's, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, Tim, like
they fought
great
with
teams.
Each other a lot.
Well,
they did.
So did the Bulls.
But I think there's different ways to be successful, right? There's the real icy cool, you know, never show a whole lot of emotion, and then there's the real emotion kind of thing. It's, I think the other thing that I find fascinating is like when you're playing them, how much do you engage with that stuff? You know, there's different choices you have. You're going to fight fire with fire, you're going to challenge them, or do you try to just completely ignore all of that stuff and not do it?
Who's ignored them so far?
Vanderbilt tried to ignore them.
You challenge their bat right out
exactly.
of the gate.
No, that's a different thing. That's not the emotional. Hey,
don't think that had nothing to do with the way that they play and the style that they bring? Like everybody's trying to stick it to them. I mean, come on. There was a reason that happened.
Listen, the bat tossing thing, I think it was deliberate. But, I mean.
Of course it was deliberate.
Hey, listen, if you don't want him to bat flip, don't give up the home run, okay? That's just the way it is. I mean, I guess I come from a different train of thought, man. It's like celebrate, have fun because, you know, I celebrate on you, you know? So if you celebrate and hit a home run or score a touchdown, do your thing. Or get an interception, stop me, do your thing. Because best believe, if I score a touchdown or get a big first down, I'm coming in your face. I'm like T.O. I might step on a star or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but you didn't do that, Derek.
No, I didn't do that. But I did celebrate.
I know.
I did celebrate. The emotion of the game.
They're celebrating, and then there's like taking it next level. That seems to be
Stop being so soft, Willie.
Taking it.
Stop being soft, Willie. Okay, that's your new name now, Soft Willie.
I'm not saying that you can't celebrate.
I'm messing with you.
There are times where you go next level.
He went next level. That's a good time
you're
to go
get
next
a reaction,
level.
And you're going to get a reaction when you go next level, like T.O. Right. Yeah. So that's what Tennessee's doing. They're going next level. Mm-hmm. That's they are absolutely going next level. They don't care, and T.O. didn't care.
Yeah,
right. But when you're the other team, you have to decide how you're going to respond.
Hey,
do you ignore it, or do you try to fight back? Remember
the other day,
time T.O. tried to do that, they were literally sprinting to midfield to keep him from doing it again.
But did
it
stop him from doing it? No.
Well, he got hit.
Hey, that's what you got to do. It's the name of the game, man.
But then that escalates everything.
Hey, man. Did it escalate anything on the baseball field? No. Just don't stop him from doing it from no more. Don't do it no more.
Throw
strikes instead of home run balls.
Okay.
Drake Hill's coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll switch gears Nashville SC.
No, man, with you, Willie.
Their weekend or their day yesterday. So we'll do that at 1 o'clock. Looking forward to that. More DDC next. There's a new way to hear us. Nashville's best sports talk. 106.3. From downtown Nashville to Spring Hill on I-65, Murfreesboro and I-24. Have choices. Check out 106.3 as well. Put that on your preset. Keep that in mind. All right, let's give away some tickets. Let's give away Game 3 tickets. Let's do it.
Let's go.
Okay. This is for Game 3 Saturday afternoon. Preds Avs. Period. We're doing this right now. Here's the question. And you're going to have to call in to Elijah Campbell and give him the correct answer at our Hillside Medical Game Studio at 615-737-1025. The fastest three goals to begin a game in Predators franchise history. The fastest time for them to score three goals to start a game. What was the time? How fast did they do it in franchise history right out of the gates? You got to tell. Look, this is for Game 3 playoff tickets. Like, you got to, like, this is not going to be easy stuff. So, what was the fastest time they did it? Three goals to begin a game in franchise history.
As fast as Dennis Rodman got three rebounds.
There you go.
Yeah.
Give Elijah Campbell that time and the correct time, and you'll be going. One, let's see, he's taking one. Nope, miss. Mm-mm. He's taking another one. Nope, miss.
Yeah.
615-737-1025. Good luck Googling that one. Mm. I'm not even going to tell you the season it happened. Oh, and they've gone quiet. The phone lines have gone quiet.
Oh,
they're like, whoa.
Oh, blowing up now.
They got my advice of listening to the question first before calling in.
Googling. Oh, the lines are blowing up now. Fastest three goals in franchise history. What's the time on the fastest three goals?
3 hours and 23 seconds.
In the to begin a game.
To begin a game.
To begin, I said that. No, I said that.
He
I
said it, Willie.
You, you didn't. You said it at the beginning. You didn't say it just then. So until now, you just clarified.
Willie, he did say it.
I said it. I said to begin the
game. Yes, you did. You did. But then you didn't say it the second time. You said.
But then I said it the third time. I didn't say it the fourth time. I said it the fifth time. Didn't say it the sixth time. I said it the seventh time. So I was just back and forth,
I think Willie's still flustered, man, and I call him soft. Soft Willie.
It'd be soft Villy.
Yeah, soft Villy. Excuse me. Not even Willie.
Soft
Villy.
Soft Villy.
Yeah.
Soft Villy. Because we were talking about UT, and, you know, we've already had a tweet from Gator Hater says, here we go again, 102.5 The Game, trashy Vols baseball. Yeah, that's way to throw a wet blanket over 102.5 The Game. Yeah,
ooh.
Yeah, because our show really trashes them. Yeah, we really give it to them, don't we? Yeah.
Yeah, trash them every chance we get.
Yeah, nice wet blanket thrown over everybody. Yeah, lump everybody into one group. Smart text or tweet. It's a tweet. So, yeah, it looks like I think we've got our winner. All right.
Winner, chicken dinner.
Speaking of our text line, we did get a good question, and we've had so many texts. I'd have to go back and find it. I remember it because I wanted us to discuss it. The question was, do we feel that the refs are going to swallow their will? Okay, here we go. Unnamed. No, it's John in Burns, Tennessee. Says, do we believe that the refs are going to swallow their whistles in the playoffs, or they're going to call it like they did during the regular season?
If you're judging by,
I think it's a good question.
Yeah, I think it's a good question. If you're judging by other sports and what they do, to me, it's almost like a game by game situation. It's not necessarily, you know, just because they're in the playoffs. Because one thing the fans don't want to see is the star player in the penalty box all the time. So I think, you know, it has to be obvious fouls in order for the ref to make a call. That's why I said the Preds are going to have to tote that line. You know, we play physical, but just enough to not get us in a box. So... I don't know. That is a good question. We'll find out after game one.
It's the question every year. It's the question every year in the playoffs, and it's been heavily, heavily debated, and it will be heavily debated all day leading up to the puck drop of the first games tonight, because the big narrative the last couple of years is the opposite of what you're saying, Derek, is the star players going into the box. Like in basketball, in hockey, you can't foul out. Right, so it's not an issue in hockey of Shaq gets five fouls and he's not in the game. But what is a big one is the Nathan MacKinnons, who the Predators are going to face, the Cale Makars, the Connor McDavids, the star players. The only way you can contain them is to be physical with them. You got to be as physical as you can that you can get away with. And so the referees are put in a bind. Do we let them play, or do we call everything? And it's a dilemma. Like, nobody wants to see you call everything, right? Nobody wants to see a game where each team gets 10 power plays. But you've got to push the envelope against tough players to try to contain
them. Do you think it would be based on players and not just the team? Do you think it would be player? Like, you just said you don't want to see Connor McDavid getting hit all the time. Nobody wants to see Yossi getting hit all the time.
Yep, Yossi's a good one.
Potential of getting hurt.
What happened the last couple of years is Connor McDavid there was a series recently he didn't get in the playoffs where he did not draw a penalty in the entire series. And so people went nuts in Edmonton. How could this happen? There's no way that that should happen because they felt like the refs were swallowing the whistles. And so that's going to be, I mean, it's going to be a huge narrative. So I guarantee you early on, I think they're going to call everything. That is my prediction.
I don't know.
Is that early in the series?
I don't know.
I'm not just saying in the Predator series. I'm saying all across.
Well, you better hope you're wrong. Because that does not, favor the Preds, the most penalized team in the league.
That reputation is going to precede them as well. They are the most penalized team in the league.
For their sake, you need to be wrong.
Okay, Willie. So if indeed that does happen.
But they also draw a lot of the Predators also draw a lot of penalties. They're in the top five in that category. So they tend to play games where there's a lot of power plays. And they do have a great power play, unlike past years when they've been to the playoffs where they've had a very bad power play.
So if that happens, say if, you know, the Preds find themselves in the penalty box a lot in the first game, what we have seen from coaches in other sports, what happens? The coach comes out and say something, you know, or the player may say something. And then for some odd reason, things tend to change a little bit in the second game. Do you think if indeed the penalties are called at a high rate, that it's up to Hines to say something, not necessarily blaming the refs, but to sort of finesse it in a way that they hear you, but you won't get fined?
That's Rod Brind'Amour did that last year during the series between the Predators and the Hurricanes last year.
He says,
I don't want to say anything about the refs, but and then let me talk about the refs. That's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
And he should have been fined for it. I don't know if he was or not, but I mean, it was very blatant because he went on a rant. So that is going to happen with some coaches. Each coach is going to do it their way. John Hines will have to decide how he does it, but I guarantee you that's going to happen in just about every series. The fine line, are you getting the call? Remember the cheesy way that Bruce Cassidy did it for the Bruins last year, and he got absolutely ripped on social media for the way he did it. You know, it was, take a look at the YouTube clip of it if you want.
Did it work?
Barry Trotz and the Islanders. No, it didn't. Barry Trotz and the Islanders eliminated them the next game. But the other thing that happens in hockey, remember too, it's not the same umpiring crew that you would have in a baseball series where they just rotate around, but it's the same guys. There's different refs every game. And so each ref has got their own interpretation of what's going on out there. And he wasn't at the last game, right? You could have a battle where everybody's ticked off about the referee's calls in game one, but the two guys in game two didn't do game one. So they're aware of what happened, but they didn't call those calls.
Don't you think they watched film?
All right, well, we got to break. We're going to come back, continue the discussion. We're getting some great texts. Congratulations to Cole Emmerich. Cole called in and correctly said 2 minutes and 51 seconds was the fastest the Predators have scored three goals to start a game. That was on Friday night in Arizona. Yes, that was a franchise record, 2 minutes and 51 seconds. So, Cole, go enjoy game three. We'll come back, wrap up hour number three next. Three Doors Down bringing us back. Blah, 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 blah. John the Mailman on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, says, Willie woke up and chose violence today. Whew! That's weird because Denver's not really – well, actually, they have had a lot of violence. I was going to say they – you know, I thought everybody was happy in Denver because of what you can do, but they have had a lot of violence in Denver. So I don't know. Is that true? Is that true? You chose violence today?
What is he talking about?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm just reading. I'm the messenger, man. Vincent and Dixon says, haven't been able to figure out who asked for it, but sounds like someone asked for some sass today.
Am I giving the sass today?
I don't know.
I think I may be giving a sass because I call Willie Soft Willie. Soft Willie, excuse me, not Willie.
Nate on our text line says, I just feel like Willie is being impacted by the high altitude. Okay, I don't know. Maybe so.
Oh, Willie, they own you, man. What's up?
What can I say? What can I say?
The altitude is getting to your belly?
It's hard to tell. I got to do my exercise later today, okay. And I will see if I'm affected.
Okay.
Matthew in Nashville on our text line says, please keep trashing UT baseball. We're undefeated every time. You all have trashed us on the air. Go Big Orange. I love our listeners. I love our listeners.
Keep listening,
but
please.
Willie, why are they so sensitive? They're so sensitive.
Yeah, I don't
love our listeners, but why are they so sensitive?
I don't think we trashed them.
It's just hilarious. That's why I'm saying that. Like, it's like enough. Like,
they're going next level, and they want to go next level.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's theirs to do. It's not how I would go about it. It's not how I would coach a team. It's not how I would carry myself.
But who's trashing them? Like, that's ridiculous.
But I'm not trashing. That's what they want
to
do.
But then you can't expect. You can't get mad if somebody else does it to you. Like, the fan base can't get mad. You know?
Well, clearly, that's not working, okay? That speech isn't working.
Yeah.
Because it's the, y'all just hate Vols baseball. You hate them.
Hate us.
You just hate us. You keep doing it, though. We're going to keep winning. You do it.
Keep on. We love the hate. We love it.
Sticking that in your pipe and you can smoke it.
We love the hate.
Love it. We embrace the hate. Hashtag embrace the hate. Why can't you just enjoy it? Just enjoy your team as number one in the country.
That's every fan base in America.
It's like you say anything that isn't like GBO, GBO, GBO. If you don't do that, it's like y'all trash, y'all hate, y'all number haters. Embrace the hate. We good. You know it. You hate it.
Y'all just mad because we good.
You mad. We tell you what, we're going to keep just pounding everybody, pounding them. Just keep saying it, GBO. That's all I got to say, GBO.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, why are you so sensitive?
But I don't blame all fans because that's every fan base in America.
I know.
They do it. You can't say it. If their team is winning and you say anything remotely contrary to what they think,
oh, yeah.
They're going to say you
hate her. You hate her. You just a number to hate her.
Yeah, so hey.
But we winning, though. We're just going to keep we're just gonna keep winning. You keep saying it. We're just going to keep winning.
Keep winning.
Let's go to Matt in Pensacola. Matt, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
So, question for you. So, the Predators obviously are going to have a huge uphill battle against the Avs. I don't think anyone's going to question that. And with Juuse Saros being out, you know, the needle is further pegged in the Avalanche direction. The question I have is that, you know, Philip Forsberg, if the Predators get the brakes blown off of them and they're just kind of run out of both buildings, how much do you think that impacts Philip Forsberg's decision going forward? And with, you know, the narrative that David Poyle's kind of ceiling is just a first-round exit kind of team, do you think that could kind of peg him in one direction or the other to go and look for a team that can honestly compete and win a championship?
Good question.
Okay. Let's discuss it.
Didn't we talked about that a while ago, about, you know, Philip, and is his decision based on how the Predators end the season, yada, yada, yada. I don't know if it affects them or not, but if I'm looking at it from an athlete standpoint, and you know you got a good team, but you were dealt a bad hand going into the playoffs, meaning, you know, your goalie is gone or your best player is not there anymore or can't be there for you during the playoffs, I think that's a notch. If you're talking about signing back, I think that's a notch for the Predators. In a sense of, okay, how do we compete without Saros? Okay, we completed well. Just think if we would have had Saros. So I'm going to come back another year. I'm going to come back, decide to resign, because I know what this team looks like with UC and Net, and then maybe, you know, a few other players, you know, on this roster, or these young players start to get more experience. I know what this roster can be, so I'm going to stay. I'm just not going to walk out because we had a bad series because our goalie wasn't in net. I can't see him basing it on okay, Sorrell's not there, so I'm leaving.
And I would say that I don't buy the statement it's been a first-round exit kind of team. They've won a lot of rounds with Philip Forsberg. They went to the Stanley Cup Finals with Philip Forsberg. They lost in the second round the next year to the team that had the second most points in the league, the Winnipeg Jets. So, you know, I think that there is a sense that and a belief that you can win in Nashville. Maybe unlike 10 years ago or so when Ryan Suter left and they hadn't had a lot of playoff success. I think those days are gone, believing that you can't win a championship here. And I think you have to have the context of they have transitioned to being a younger team. So I look at the Predators, if I'm David Poile, and I'm sure they've had these conversations, all right, Philip, here's where we see it. Look at our roster. We've gotten younger. We've created more cap space than just about anybody in the league. I think if you look, and I haven't done this exactly on the 16 teams, but I think the Predators, of the 16 teams that are in the league, they have the most cap space going forward than any team that's in there. Maybe with maybe one or two exceptions, I'm not sure. But they're positioned to add in the offseason and still hopefully sign Philip Forsberg. So I see it as a team that, again, is in transition to becoming a team that can really load up. They chose not to give up assets to load up. They've basically had the same team all year. And now they're going into this series without, possibly, without their goaltender for at least the start of the series. I'd be stunned if Juuse Saros is starting game one. And I don't know if he'd be available by the end of the series or not. But we'll see. We'll see what they say on that. So to answer his question, only Philip Forsberg knows that right now. But I think objectively, you're looking at a team that is young and is in position to build. So that's a tricky thing to say, hey, go somewhere where you can contend. Because I've seen a lot of people go where they think they can contend, yeah, Ryan Suter, and they didn't contend.
Mm-hmm. Over 7 or 8 years, that's a really hard thing to project.
Yeah.
It could look good today and not look so good 2 years from now, right? I mean, that's just a hard one. That is a hard one to project. I would say it's probably pretty minimal would be my guess.
Yeah,
I mean, if you were talking about the last 8 years, they haven't been in the playoffs instead of going to the playoffs the last 8 years. That's different, right? It's like, you know, I've spent 8 years like no playoffs. Like, who's kidding who? It's probably just time for a change of scenery. But when you talk about going to the playoffs 8 years in a row and one of the years going to the Stanley Cup Final and event, you know, second round. I mean, I don't know. My guess is that's probably down on the list would be my guess. Just
they are the
like how this
they
season
are the
plays
second.
Out.
I just saw this. They are the second youngest team in the playoffs this year.
Yeah. So they went from one of the oldest teams in the league to one of the youngest teams. All right,
that's an important thing to notice.
Yep. We'll switch gears. Talk with Drake Hills. Talk about what was yesterday at Geodis Park. Pretty cool. First ever game. We'll get his reaction to it to start the final hour. That's next.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.